Final hour, fist pump time, club. Sean and RJ with Ruben on the lights here from Oxnard, California. Nick Eatman's like, what did I get into for another year? He is sitting down with us. DallasCowboys.com brought to you by the Windstar World Casino and Resort. Proud to be the casino of the Dallas Cowboys. Please game responsibly. And Nick's here with us now because Tyler Booker is going to sit down with us coming up in the next segment. So thanks for making the adjustment. Did you go out last night with no practice yesterday?
No.
Got to turn that
on. Oh,
there we go.
There we go.
I thought with the producer being here, like right at the spot before I got here.
I like it.
I know. I didn't. I haven't had anything. I haven't had one sip of alcohol. Anything. I haven't gone out. I haven't done anything since I've been here.
Are you becoming lame?
What'd
you think I was gonna ask?
I don't know, but yeah, there's a possibility.
Well, lame is old and old is lame.
Okay, yeah.
I kind of put them together.
Yeah, y'all are old.
CD lame. That's me.
CD lame.
CD lame.
Yeah, you just looked at me like, "What is that?"
I thought you said what you said. But did you say that?
No, he's been slow on the take on a couple things.
Well, you know, my jokes are lame too. Anything before 7 a.m. is pretty, you know, it's pretty lame.
Were you on tsunami watch last night?
I heard about that, and what was funny is that I kind of had one of those foot and mouth moments where, like, at dinner, I'm hearing about this. And I'm like, oh, my God, really? Yeah, this is a thing. As I'm walking to, like, get a fork or something, I said, you couldn't pay me to live here. And as I say that, there's a lady that works at the hotel. She's, like, standing right there, and she's looked at me. I'm like, to someone that actually lives right down the street. I was like, I'm sorry. She goes, listen, this is what the tsunami's going to be. Over by the harbor, you know, some of those places, water will rise for about 5 minutes. It'll come down. You guys will never see anything. This happens all the time.
But why did you say you couldn't pay me to live here?
Just because of, and that's not the biggest thing, but just.
We're inland here.
I know. That was one of like 12.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? You've seen the menu prices. You've seen gas prices. Oh, yeah. You've seen
everything.
Do the stuff you deal with. I'm good to visit. Good to have training camp. I don't know.
What's the gas up to?
$4.50.
Yeah, we saw $4.49.
Yeah.
Yeah. Which it's actually lower than I've seen it before sometimes. Yeah. It'll be over five. Yeah.
Did you hear about G-Bag with Stephen Jones yesterday?
I heard that there was some really good stuff that came out of it. You know, what's funny is you listen to all of that stuff, and you guys are probably talking about completely different things. And the stuff I hear, I'm like, oh, Nate Thomas, huh?
That's
what I think of. Like, oh, okay. Like,
what is that? Explain.
Just that he said, I believe he said Nate Thomas is going to get some first team reps.
Not just first. He made it sound like Nate Thomas is the one.
Left tackle.
We do a one-on-one with Steven. Well, it was yesterday, too. Well. And I've never actually seen y'all do that. I hear it. I don't know what it looks like. There was nothing to it. But, no, he was talking about, you know, Adeniji, awesome, and Nate Thomas.
Schottenheimer mentioned at the press conference the other day as, like, really impressing him this year.
Well, the thing with him, it's always, I mean, like, it was kind of a joke when they drafted him. Just they were kind of made a joke of it laughing in the war room about when Jim Maurer stood up and listed every single thing that he's had medically.
Yeah.
And it was like, still, you're still talking, Jim, and he's got this, and he's got this, and he had this, and then he had a little bit of a heart condition here, but then a knee here, and a torn ACL here, and it's like, wow. But he obviously has great talent. He's been banged up.
Yeah, he was a guy who was, he was somebody who a lot of people, I think, thought of as a talent, was like a third-round player.
Yeah.
And he ended up dropping down to where he did. But is that, when they go into this, do you think this is an open competition or this is just getting guys reps while Guyton is out? Like, is it something where we're going to see, all right, no, we've got Adeniji getting work, we're getting this guy work, and we're going to figure it out? Or do you think they have somebody in mind and it's just, but let's get everybody covered while we've got this
opportunity? I don't know if they have anyone in mind, but they better figure it out for, like, a little bit longer than Guyton's, like, timetable. Because even when he comes back, I mean, this is a guy that I think that needs the most reps of anybody on the team. And for him to think, well, he'll be right back and he'll just slide right back in, I don't know. I mean, like, this is an opportunity for someone to really take over, because if he has a really good case, whether it be Thomas or – I have a feeling it's going to be a Adeniji. I don't even know if I'm saying that right.
No, Adeniji. You are.
Akeem. the Garland guy. No, I just think he has an opportunity to really do it. I know he, you know, Cincinnati didn't have the best offensive line, but here's a guy started in the Super Bowl. He's done some things. I kind of think it might be him, but we'll see.
A couple things I took from the Steven interview. I'm convincing myself that Micah is asking for like 45 or above per year. Mm-hmm. And the Jaden Blue stuff that came out like last week, some of it is legit incredible.
Right.
Because Steven didn't totally shut it down yesterday with G-Bag. We knew about the Diggs stuff, same type of tone on their expectation. But
first time he had explicitly said, though, that he thinks Diggs would be further ahead had he not been somewhere else.
Yeah. But I'm kind of taking management's side here because I'm believing that Micah and them are asking for way more than TJ Watt. That's me convincing myself.
Yeah.
I'm not reporting that. But that's what I keep getting when they're like, hey, people might be asking for $5 million more, and people may not want to do the deal right now.
Right.
Those are my takeaways.
Right. No, I think there's got to be something more than just he wants to be high, just, you know, just a little bit higher than Watt. There's more to it. And I know that, you know, there's been some talk that he wants, their agent has said, his agent said he wants to go last in this whole deal. I just wouldn't think that the Hendrickson thing would be holding up anything. If anything, I would want it to go. I would want, if I was Micah's group, I would want to go before Hendrickson signed, because what's he going to get? 30?
Yeah, like
six.
Yeah.
Well, he led the league in sacks. That only would help the Cowboys, I think, by saying, "All right, well, here's the sack leader that got this. So now your numbers." I think they know it's got to be more than Watt and go do it. But I'm glad you said that, because obviously with the Dak deal last year and the CD, I think that people forget just what is this being asked of.
Yeah, and if I was the Cowboys too, I'd leak it. I know that probably piss off the other side, but the fan base gets so angry at the Joneses,
right,
and the front office loses all the time. I would even leak it, like Micah Parsons asking for $47 million, and that would... They may not care about the fan base being upset and angry at them, but it would help their cause. And we'd be like, all right, Micah, like, let's be a little bit reasonable. Because I think everyone thinks, basically, that Micah's supposed to get 42. He's asking for 42, and the Cowboys are balking.
Right.
And that doesn't make sense.
Right.
To me, that's why when the Cowboys say he has to want to get paid, I think that's their way of saying that he's asking for too much.
Way too much, yeah.
Or is it – see, this is the other thing we wondered. Steven says he has to want to get paid. Steven has also said, like, there's a lot going on here that has just been misreported. And there's all this talk about them not talking to anything. Is there any possibility here that Micah's public position on what he wants to get done is maybe not as eager to get something done behind the scenes? That he's maybe said, you know, I can sit and wait a little bit. I can play this out.
I think they both have that side. I think you're right about that. And I keep going back to the line that Steven always says about deadlines make deals. And I just don't know if anyone's on a real deadline here, either side. It's not like Micah is going to play this thing at you know, $5 million or whatever. He's going to play it at, is it 21?
24.
I've heard that, but I also think, you know, he's actually a defensive end, and a linebacker tag is 24. I think it's a 21-5, but either way, it's way more than we're making here. So
you are way more than welcome to stick around for Tyler Booker.
Tyler Booker,
you got to do some other things. It's all up to you. Nick Eatman, DallasCowboys.com, brought to you by the Windstar World Casino and Resort. Tyler Booker sits down with us in the Wild Fork hot seat. Next, and Wild Fork, y'all, is your brand new way to grill, your brand new way to shop. No more overpriced local butchers, no more wholesale memberships that you have to get involved in. You go to wildforkfoods.com or stop in to any of their 9 DFW locations, and I'm promising you, I'm guaranteeing you, it will change the way you shop and stock your fridge with your meats and your protein forever. The selection, the value, and the knowledge, it'll be your new go-to spot for all your sizzling needs. You can cook like a Texan at unbeatable pricing. I'm talking difference in pricing with your Select, with your Choice, with your Prime, and with your Wagyu. And you can get a Wagyu brisket if you go to 105throughthefan.com/contests. All you got to do is go to 105throughthefan.com/contests, sign up, $100 gift card giveaways a week. You go ahead and you get that Wagyu brisket or whatever else your heart desires, Wild Fork. Download the app, get the shipping, or go to wildforkfoods.com. It's not a restaurant. It's Wild Fork with 9 DFW locations. All right, I already know this is going to be incredible because of the commercial break discussion with New. Well, we knew it was going to be incredible because he made the all-personality team as soon as he was drafted. And now we just cut it up in the commercial break. Tyler Booker, your new Cowboys offensive lineman, is sitting down with us right now in the Wild Fork Foods hot seat on 105.3 The Fan, the Cowboys flagship with Sean, RJ, and Bobby. Good morning. Welcome.
Good morning. Thanks, y'all, for having me.
Okay, I don't even know where to start here. I think I have to start with the pizza because you said you're from New Haven, Connecticut. And we watched Dave Portnoy Barstool, and he is crowned New Haven, actually, as the pizza capital of the world.
Yes.
You think it's true?
Oh, I know it's true.
How do y'all say it?
A pizza.
There
a
it is.
A pizza.
Okay.
A pizza.
Describe for our listeners what that actually is, how it's different from a pizza we get out here.
It's more like a thin crust, crispy slice.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? It's mm-hmm. not too greasy. You don't want a real greasy slice.
Yeah.
One that you'll be able to fold, and it's hard to describe.
You think like, it's the best?
Oh, I know it's the best.
Yeah. Better than like New York?
Yes.
Will you eat like the white clam a pizza?
I had it one time. It's good, but it's the kind of thing where you have it once, be like, okay, I tried it, and that's it. You don't go get it again. Yeah.
How many brisket sandos you had in Texas or out here?
Brisket sandos?
Yeah.
Sandwich. He's trying to be hip.
Brisket like barbecue.
Not too many.
No.
Not too many. I'm not a big like brisket sandwich guy. If I'm gonna eat brisket, I'll just eat it straight up.
Okay.
Okay. Yeah. But you like barbecue.
Yeah, I love barbecue now.
Okay.
Love it.
All right. Let me ask you this: you have a
because Bama. You want to try to put Bama barbecue up against Texas barbecue?
I'm not going to try and do that.
What even is Bama barbecue? What even is that?
I love Tuscaloosa, but Bama barbecue is harder compared to some of the stuff I've had out here.
So the one thing from Bama I do want to get, and I tried to make it, and people get gross. You guys would probably get grossed out about it because you're uncultured.
And but, I don't like this. I don't like these regional names for things.
Alabama white sauce. Yep. Do you know what that is, and is it legit, Tyler?
You know what's crazy? I didn't know what Alabama white sauce was until the combine. Somebody asked me about Alabama white sauce, and I'm like, what is that? Are y'all punking me right now?
Oh.
I had no idea what it was. But apparently people say it's pretty good.
Okay, so you've never had it still?
Never had it still.
It's like a mayo vinegar chop.
Oh, disgusting. That's gross.
So you're no bread on the brisket? You're no sauce for the brisket? You just want straight brisket? Meat, straight meat, nothing brisket. Else? Yeah. See, that's the classic Texas opinion.
Yeah.
No sauce, no nothing.
Yep.
Awesome. All right, so no mayo. Good. This guy over here brought that giant honking hoagie. All right.
Hoagie.
That thing he got yesterday for lunch with mayonnaise on it. How long can you keep a sandwich with the condiment on it? You can't keep that for the rest of the day and overnight, either the next day. It's a soggy piece of bread.
Yeah, not the next day. Mm. You can if you get it for lunch, you can maybe eat it for dinner.
Yeah,
maybe.
You eat it for dinner, maybe. Or like late at night, like, oh, I still had that sandwich from lunch yesterday.
Yeah.
But like, eating it like a whole new calendar day, like the sun is up now.
Yeah.
And especially
if you get the oil and vinegar on it. You
oil and vinegar is way worse than the mayo.
You got an hour window with oil and vinegar.
I picked up his sandwich to feel, and I felt the sogginess, and I got that. Did you get oil and vinegar? I got oil and vinegar on my left hand. It's stuck on my hand right now.
18 hours later, you got oil and vinegar still on that thing? Man.
Oh. And he said he would go get.
Whoa,
yeah, he said go get me lunch.
He did.
Punk.
Wow. Okay. All right.
Tyler Booker sitting down with us here. 105.3 The Fan. How's camp been so far? Like your NFL impressions. All you guys got to come in here, right, and be like, how am I going to stack up? How different is the NFL world? How's it been?
It's been a lot of fun. Like I've really had a lot of fun learning. I've had a lot of fun with the challenges that come with camp. I've also had a lot of fun like getting to know my new teammates. Like everything that I've been through is just. Honestly, it's been fun. Like winning reps, losing reps is just learning, and me getting one step closer to being a better football player.
What's been, from the on-the-field adjustment, has it been the speed of the game, the power of the players? Like, what's been the bigger adjustment?
So definitely speed, definitely the power, but the biggest adjustment is, like, the football IQ of the guys that you're going against. You know, like, I'm going up against guys who are in year 3, 4, 5, maybe 6. You know what I mean? So, and I'm a rookie, so they just see the game from a whole new point of view than I do. You know, so, like, there's a lot of, like, old vet tricks that they know, and then there's things that I have to make sure that I do in order to not tip a player or tip certain things off. But, like, their mental processing is really, really fast, and mine is getting better, and I'm just looking forward to continue to speeding up that mental processing.
How much or how difficult has it been? We've heard Shoddy talk about it the first day he was got hired and he did his press conference. He talked about, like, yeah, some of our play calls are pretty long. And he's like they can get little wordy and stuff like that. How much has, like, the language and some of the playbook stuff just been, has any of that been overwhelming, or are you just like, no, this is standard football. I can get all this.
It's standard football, and I want to commend Coach Shoddy and Coach Adams for, like, the way that they – get it out to us, you know. So if you find a routine of finding ways to study it, finding ways to get ahead, it never really becomes too much. And then us as offensive line, you know what you have to listen for. And once you hear that, then you're like, okay, that's what I have to do.
All right, so I want to go back to something you said, because you said you want to make sure you're not tipping things, right?
Mm-hmm.
You know, like, I'm a baseball guy, so in baseball, you can tell when a pitcher's tipping pitches. How do you tell?
Well, you're a baseball fan.
Baseball fan, but how can you tell when a defensive player is tipping something, or, like, how can you tell what you're tipping? Like, what are you looking for?
So it really comes down to the stance. Like, your stance and starts everything in the game of football. And this dates back to even college. Like, even some of the really good linebackers and defensive linemen that we played were able to tell if you were tipping off a play. And what I mean by that, so, like, say that an offensive lineman in the SEC, like, whenever he pulls, he gets a little bit further off the ball. Like, that's a tip. Or whenever he's going to pass it, his stance is a little bit more narrow and his chest is up. Or, like, a big tell that a lot of young offensive linemen have is if it's a run play, you can tell they got more weight on their hands, and if it's a pass play, they're kind of light on their hands. So you just have to be aware of that as a football player, and make sure that you're not putting your team or yourself at a disadvantage.
You know, you talk.
I thought you were going to reference a Vanderbilt D lineman, or like an Oklahoma D lineman.
He doesn't like you.
I'll give my Vandy shot. And my godson played tight end. He didn't really get on the field when he played y'all, but I was there for that upset game. So
okay.
I just wanted to see how you responded to that.
Can't do nothing about it now.
does this place scare you?
He's a Tennessee volunteer.
Nah.
He went to Tennessee.
Oh, man, I'm sorry for you.
Oh, no. You know, you talked a lot.
I like the competitive face.
Great.
It's like he's going to shove us like he did this kid in the viral clip, which we'll get to.
You talked a lot right after you got drafted about how important leadership was to you, mm-hmm. and how much you want to be that guy, be that presence. How is that challenge, though, when you come into a situation like this where you have that instinct, you have that within you, and then you're like, but I'm the new guy here, I'm the young guy here. How do you still push those traits or let those traits be felt while also still trying to, like, hey, I'm still finding my place and need to find out where I am here?
Yeah, so you just hit on it. Like, I first have to earn the right to lead. And what I mean by that, like, I have to be seen as a contributor. I have to be respected by my whole team, and I have to do things to be seen as a leader on the team. And, like, while I'm still making strides to be seen as a leader on this team by earning the right to lead, I'm being the player that I would want to be led by. So I'm making sure that I'm doing everything in my power on and off the field to be the best version of myself that I can be in order to be the best player I can be for my teammates. So those are the ways that I'm taking strides towards leadership without actually being a leader on the team yet.
How much do you think leadership is action versus, you know, verbal or being vocal or like really kind of talking to guys and communicating with them versus just showing an example?
I think action is like one of the most important parts of leadership. Like you can talk about it and still not be about it. Like I would, like, it's funny, I was talking to some of my former teammates at Alabama about it a couple of days ago about leadership. And it's like, you can never ask somebody to do something that you wouldn't be willing to do yourself. You know what I mean? That's what leadership is. So I feel like leadership is like a majority action. And then if you are a verbal leader, that's when you step into that role as well. But first and foremost, before you lead somebody else, you have to lead yourself accordingly.
There are three Tylers on this line. How do the coaches name you separately? How do they address you guys out of practice?
So Tyler Smith goes by T-Sizz.
Okay.
Tyler Guyton goes by TG.
Okay.
I go by T-Book.
T-Book.
Yeah.
All right, so all of you got a T in the beginning.
Yeah.
Okay, I just wanted to get that straight because that could be very, very confusing. What happened in this clip here? Was this at your football camp?
Yes, it was.
All right, this thing went viral. Cowboy fans loved it. What's going on here in this clip?
So, RZ, that's a kid's name. He was winning that rep over and over again, and it's like Connor King's court style. So if you win, you stay on. You win, you stay on. You win, you stay on. So he pretty much beat everybody at the camp, and I was like, you know what, I gotta go ahead and beat this kid. So once I beat him, I had to let him know, like, yeah, like you can beat everybody except me. Like, this is Tyler Booker football camp.
Okay, you beat him, like, at what point? Because that looks like you cheated.
Where did I cheat?
You pushed him onto the ground.
After the rep was over.
Okay, after the – so when does the rep end?
When my head crosses the line.
Okay.
Where that cone is.
I'm going to look at it one more time right here.
Okay.
Where that cone is. So this is going to end it?
Yeah. I'm leaning ahead. I forgot that headlamp. He's running upright. I had that forward lean.
Okay.
Yeah. I mean, me and you could go outside. Oh, baby.
Yes, sir. Yeah.
It's whatever.
Well, that's whatever. That's right. That's whatever.
I don't want to get in trouble with the front office and getting you injured doing something that's outside of it. But we'll broadcast the show from the Tyler baby. Booker football camp.
You know, we got a grass field over there. 100 yards.
You were like one of the bigger hands at the combine, right?
Yeah.
We should do the hand comparison. Sean is known for his hand size. Carter, you're gonna have to get this here. This is Sean is known for his hand size. I just got to see exactly how big the difference is.
I did this with Tyron Smith. This was an all-time embarrassing moment for me. Are you ready? Here it is right here with Tyler
tiny
Booker.
Hand. Look at that. Look.
Dude, that's not cool, man. That's not cool. When could you palm a basketball? What age?
Probably about like seventh grade.
When did you know?
Seventh grade.
When did you know you were like different at football? Like when you knew that, hey, I'm playing at the next level.
Oh, 9 years old.
Yeah.
And it's like, that's not fluff. Like, because I had one game. I played for the New Haven Steelers. We were playing the Hartford Hurricanes, and I just completely dominated. And I got a feel from that game. I was like, oh, like, I want to do this for the rest of my life. And that year, I had already gotten personal. Like, I had personal trainers since the age of 8. I went to middle school an hour away because it was going to be, like, better academically for me. I went to high school in New Jersey for a year. Then I went to high school in Florida. And then I went to Alabama. So, like, everything that I've done in my life since I was the age of 8 has to been to get me to where I am today.
Who was your first offer?
Oh, sorry, guys.
My first offer was Rutgers University.
Okay.
Who were your, like, football idols growing up? Was it skill position players, quarterbacks, or was there a lineman you loved?
Actually, Troy Polamalu, believe it or not. So okay. I grew up a huge Steelers fan. Cowboys Nation, y'all gonna have to forgive me for that. But just seeing the way that he played, the game, seeing how, like he played, like he put his body on the line for the game of football, and he truly loved the game of football. Like, yeah. I remember the day he retired. I was on a trip at Mystic Seaport, a school trip. It was my first overnight trip ever. I would wake up, open my phone, I see Troy Polamalu retire, and I almost cry. Like,
wow.
I remember that day.
Yeah.
That was crazy.
So your freshman year at Bama, the beginning of Bama with the hype and the attention compared to first year as a Dallas Cowboy, because you're in two primetime programs. Mm-hmm. Compare. Contrast.
Well, I don't have school anymore, so I think being a Dallas Cowboy is going to be a little bit more fun. So.
No, but the attention. Like, you know, you're going to that program. Like, I'm just talking about recognizing the hype and dealing with all the noise and the spotlight that comes with both. Has it not been that big a deal or change for you being a Dallas Cowboy rookie because of Bama?
I mean, not really. I mean, those are external factors, and they both have their benefits. Don't get me wrong, but like I'm worried about being a Dallas Cowboy football player. I'm not worried about being a Dallas celebrity right now.
Yeah, you know? your major like focus in school, what was it?
Psychology.
Ooh. Okay, mm-hmm. I was gonna think communications or broadcasting. But you're kind of looking at me like you're trying to figure me out right now. I wanted psychology, too. Way too difficult for me at American University. I could not get into it.
So you've talked about the work that you put in and how much you know there are going to be these things you're going to have to make up, and these things that, you know, all right, now we're at the pro level, this is a different game, and I'm going to have to be better at this and do those things. What's gone on out here so far that you're like, okay, I didn't know I was behind there, or man, this is an even bigger gap that I feel like I'm going to have to work even harder on here than maybe I realized just kind of intellectually before I got on the field?
Definitely, like recognizing what the defense is presenting. Like, I thought I did a really good job of that in college, but, like, now, like, they disguise it. You know, college, they would just straight up show it. Now there's a lot of disguises, and I have to understand, like, what certain things present. And all of that will come with time. Like, the more comfortable I get with the playbook, the more comfortable I get with the plays, my technique, that's when I'll be able to take that step further and be like, okay, like, I know what I'm doing. Let me try and figure out what they're doing before they even do it.
Who on the offensive line has been the biggest help to you in that? And, like, and already just kind of showing you, like, all right, look for this. Look at, like, who's been the best at kind of helping you out to understand some of those things and recognizing defenses?
I'm not going to lie. Pretty much all the vets. Like, all the vets have been doing a great job of helping me, like, individually. Like, them, either going to them, asking them for advice, or them pulling me to the side. Be like, all right, but when you see this and this, you got to make sure that you know this might happen. You know, so, like, I couldn't have asked for a better room of vets. Like, everybody's been nothing but helpful to me on my journey to this point.
So you're basically saying in college you're lining up and beating your man, and in the pros you're trying to out-scheme him? Is that kind of how it is?
I mean, you got to out-scheme him in college as well. I feel like just the scheme aspect in the pros is a lot more advanced, because in college, even though it's still high-level football, you still have your Jalen Milroes and your Ryan Williams who can – correct things, mm-hmm, if things don't go right. But, like, everybody has a Jalen, everybody has a Ryan, everybody has, like, those superstar players on their team. So, like, yes, talent counts, but scheme, like, what you're doing, mm-hmm, like, having a mastery of what you're doing, it far surpasses talent.
Tyler Booker with us here on The Fan. What was the most impressive visiting stadium when you went in? You're like, whoa, like, this is cool, this is impressive. In college,
definitely kneeling when I notice all those speakers that they have to pump in crowd noise.
Maybe we do. I don't know. Maybe.
Just saying. I was like, wow, that's a state-of-the-art sound stuff.
Do you think that Coach Saban is totally done?
Yeah.
You do?
I do.
What made him special?
His consistency. Like, every day he was the same person every single day. And then you always knew where you stood with him. And he was very, you always knew what you needed to do in order to play and in order to be the best version of yourself. And he would straight up tell you, like, my freshman year, he was like, look, I love the way you work. I love the way you do this. I love the way you do that. But I'm going to need to see you improve in this, this, and that if you want to play. I improved in this, this, and that, and I played my freshman year. So everything that he told me came to fruition. If you just follow and trust the process.
If you were commissioner of college football, what would you do? Would you change anything about NIL, portal, all that stuff, or would you keep it the way it is right now?
I would implement contracts. So, like, I feel like it should be a two-sided coin. Be like, okay, you can, like, we could pay you a whole bunch of money, but if you get this money, you start skipping class, you start skipping workouts, we can fine you. And if it gets to the point, we can fire you. And if you want to do all this transferring would essentially be like requesting a trade, but, like, you don't have to trade with another school. Mm-hmm. I feel like buyouts should definitely be in place, because that'll change the perspective, mm-hmm, of, like, how bad you want a player. Like, okay, are you going to pay out the rest of my contract, and am I going to get something on top of that? That's how I think it should work. Those are my two cents on it. Just do contracts to keep kids locked in, and then if you want to transfer, you have to get bought out of your contract. You have to buy your own contract out.
We were blown away by the personality and everything when you were drafted. We knew you'd be phenomenal sitting down with us. Thank you so much for the great interview. Have a healthy and great camp, and when we get out there on the field, don't cheat on me like you did at your camp. There he is, Tyler Booker, right here on your home of the Cowboys in the Wild Fork Foods Hot Seat, 105.3 The Fan. Thank you, big fella.
Thanks, guys.
Appreciate you. Let's crosstalk with the KNC Masterpiece. Were they on tsunami watch for us last night? KNC is next.
After we get you over to Platinum Ford in Terrell, it is, of course, Stephen Gilchrist Dome Store. Gilchrist Automotive hooking you up with that brand new Ford car, truck, SUV. PlatinumFord.com, right between I-20 and Highway 80. It is worth the short drive to Terrell. To save a lot more on that brand new vehicle, Adam Vinci is the GM at Platinum Ford. He's a solid dude. He told me to tell you something. Now, by the way, first of all, they have the summer sales event happening right now. So you can go into Platinum Ford and get a 2025 Ford F-150, an Explorer, an Escape, a Mustang, zero down, 0% for 48 months, zero payments for 90 days. But he also said when you mentioned my name, RJ Choppy, or mentioned that you heard about it on The Fan, he's going to throw in a free bed liner when you buy that truck. He's going to throw in a free window tint when you buy that SUV. It's an added thank you just for heading on over to Platinum Ford. You can still get an F-150 XLT, a 2024. They got them on the lot. $8,000 off MSRP. Go see Adam Vinci at PlatinumFord.com or drive a little further to save a lot more at Platinum Ford.
Let's cross talk with the KNC Masterpiece back in DFW here on Sean and RJ 105.3 The Fan. It's me, Kevin, and then Corey Majors on video like a good dependable teammate.
And he's on there I tried to help by putting my name.
And he's on there as Brisket Sandoz. Right, baby. I got to feel like you felt like, boy, the first one you tried to drop in there, and it's the one person who didn't know right away what Sandoz was. It's like, damn it, now I got to sit here with this.
No, I'm happy he didn't know, because these douchebag abbreviations I can't stand.
Oh, my God.
Dude, I texted Bobby and asked him for something the other day, and then he hooked me up, and then I texted back Prish, and I was like, man, that's so choppy right there. That's so, and I felt so dirty when I did it.
I just figured it was. I thought it was something that you were like trying to draw me off sides with. So I just was like, "Oh, I'll just treat it like it's normal."
I even got into it with Bobby at the commercial break when he goes, and he was being serious. He goes, "Yeah, you know, like talking ball." And I said, "Don't do that. Jason Witten can say that. He's the only one. I don't even like when Romo says it. Like, it's just called football. Wow. Talking ball. It's like I'm so important. Like I can speak in this language.
I like using a brief, so I'm gonna keep using it.
Well, your name's in a brief.
Stop that.
My name's in a brief. That's right.
Good point.
I don't.
Yours
is
too. Jonathan.
It was now. Look, no.
Check the birth certificate.
Here's the thing.
Robert.
Where is the birth certificate, Sean?
Yeah.
Here's the thing. I think that...
What country is it from, okay?
The way I said it, you made it sound like I was just like, man, this is so fun sitting here talking ball. I did not do that. We were talking about the way different players like stuff, and I said, well, like a lot of these guys, if you just talk ball, which is like, talk ball is like a phrase applied to most football players. Like, we're just getting into X's and O's. Like, I'm saying that I'm not going to use that as just sitting around here going, like, we're talking ball. I'm just saying that phrase is associated with a certain type of discussion you're going to have with them. That's all.
Nothing you said changed my mind.
Whoa. I mean, it's tough to sometimes reason with somebody. Never mind. I'm just not
gonna... Yeah, exactly.
I was like, we got to ride back in the same car together.
Yeah. Corey, what's coming up?
Well, we keep our eye on you guys and the tsunami situation for one.
Yeah, you guys are safe. Were you worried?
We are. I mean, we're here.
We do have Bochy coming up today at 12:30. And then I think at noon we're going to roll this one out. What's the coolest high school stadium you've ever been to? Because these new stadiums, Kevin was right. Allen set the template, and now stadiums across the country are saying, we got to be like that.
The one with all the speakers.
Yeah.
What a great insult from Tyler Booker towards your university, Choppy.
I mean, anybody can, like,
are you guys known for that?
No, I've never heard of that.
He said he walked right in. That's the first thing he noticed. Where he's like, what an advanced sound system they have.
My favorite part, though, was when he goes, oh, you went to Tennessee? I'm sorry.
He's sorry he never won there.
That's
the problem for him. But we don't even have like a very good sound system. At least we did last. I haven't been there in a couple years.
It's been distorted with all the crowd noise you pumped in.
When did you go? When's the last time you've been?
21.
21?
Okay.
2021? I went there. I went with a Sandler. Went to the Georgia game.
That's right.
No, but I'll tell you the coolest high school stadium.
Tell me.
Highland Park.
Oh, yeah.
It's like quaint. It's like in between buildings. It looks like they kind of like did the best they could with the limited land they had. I think it reminds me a lot of Georgia Tech Stadium. It's just very, very cool.
I am going to give a very outside-the-box answer because it is not one of the more advanced ones or anything else. Memorial Stadium, Mesquite High School.
Oh,
it is cool.
The aesthetic of Mesquite, like when it's like blue skies and you see the tower back there, it is a picturesque stadium to look at when you're in the stands. I absolutely love Memorial.
Were you ever afraid the tower was going to fall over?
Every time.
No.
Okay, I definitely was.
Corey, which one were we at together?
That was Plano Senior. So that was Clark Stadium. That was Plano Senior and East. No, West. They kind of share that a little bit.
Correct.
Very confusing. Yeah. Well, there's three, and then there's Preston.
Did you, Sean, have you been to their bootleg stadium across the bridge then?
No.
Not Kimbrough. At Clark Stadium, they have this Kimbrough other, Park. Like, adjacent mini stadium called Clark East.
Oh, yeah, that's where the middle school
yeah,
play.
Yeah, and you just walk across the bridge, but that's also where they put soccer games yeah, a lot of the yeah, times. Yeah. And so you just walk across this little bridge, and it feels like you're in this whole little world.
That's a good little stadium, though. I like that.
Hey, we got a question for you guys.
Yeah.
What would you think? So we got this email that Brian Purdy is up for the Texas Radio Hall of Fame.
He's our regional president, by the way.
And so we have come up with the concept of, would it make Hall of Fame voting more interesting to you if you had to take out the same number of people you put in? So, like, if you wanted to elect that third person, then that meant you had to take three people out of the Hall of Fame.
Like relegation?
Like yeah,
the
exactly.
EPL.
You got to take Chris Arnold out to get Purdy in.
Oh,
man. Yeah, three of them.
Well, that is almost exactly what Alex said.
Well, of course it would make it more interesting.
Yeah.
Like, you tried to do that with Ryan Sandberg this morning.
Well, yeah, I mean, like, I was just trying to put people in the Hall of Fame that should be in the Hall of Fame.
Oh, you shut your mouth.
I mean, his OPS plus is below league average. He's under 800 OPS for his career. I don't know. Kind of just a booty cheeks kind of player.
So who are you putting in?
Jeff Kent. Now, Jeff Kent was a – Ryan Sandberg is a world-class human. Jeff Kent is a world-class jackass.
Yeah.
But – he's objectively a better baseball player.
Bro, this is so easy. Yeah, we're putting Purdy in, and I know exactly who we're taking out of the Texas Radio Hall of Fame. We're taking out Dale Hansen.
Agreed. You know, what I don't understand is, why are these ladies getting paid like men? That's a thing that he said.
And he said it just like that, like yes. You were having trouble starting a boat on Lake Louisville
yes.
or something.
Okay.
I thought that was a drop that Pate was playing. I was like, how did you have a Dale Hansen drop that fast and ready to go?
No
but
difference.
Well done, Kevin.
Yeah.
Man, is there anyone here who likes Hansen?
I love Dale.
I've liked my Dale experiences as well. Do I think that he hyped things up for television to get on Oprah or whatever? Yes, I do. But I love Dale's story, sitting down doing interviews with
him. Dale's fantastic with that. I know. I think I'm taking out...
But I also didn't watch him my entire life growing up. So
I am taking out... I'm not going to say this name, but I'm taking that name out right there, Chop. I'm doing that.
Oh, will you send it to us?
Wow. Yeah, please
who
send it.
Go.
Yeah, I'll take it out right below
yeah,
that name.
Okay, tell him.
Dan Rather.
He's taking Dan Rather.
Get him out of here.
Dan Rather?
Get him out of here.
He's my first fight with the radio station. It had to do with Dan Rather.
What was that?
Man.
It was parking.
Oh, yeah.
Have you guys heard this one?
Oh, yes. No. No, I don't remember this.
I tried to expense parking at DFW Airport for, like, our first trip flying out. And I think they rejected it and said, like, you can't park. You have to go ahead and get, you know, the bus terminal. And I said, does Dan Rather work for this company, CBS? They said, yeah. I said, are these the rules for Dan Rather? Dan Rather can't. Dan Rather can't.
That's like Costanza with the Ted Danson plane.
They go, you're not Dan.
You're
Rather.
Not Dan Rather.
Oh, I know.
We all have a CBS ID card, don't we?
Yes, we do. Same one. I'm taking out. He's a good friend of mine. I love him to death. I'm taking out Greg Sachs. I used to coach with him. I used to coach his kid. He's a good dude. He's a great
show
friend.
Steve but, Balls was something.
We got to take him out. I mean, he left the industry 40 years ago.
So
we
have to be taken out?
We got to get him out.
So, like, Babe Ruth has to be taken out?
He worked at radio until he was, like, 30.
Yeah.
We got to get him out of there. Come on.
I'll tell you what. I don't know how I'm going to give a media hot take. And this is true. This is not even a hot take, I don't think. I don't know how picky they are with the Texas Radio Hall of Fame, these Radio Hall of Fames. But whoever is handing out these Emmys.
Oh.
Everyone. It's like getting in the NBA Hall of Fame. The amount of people that I see who have Emmy Award winner in their bio, it's sickening. It's sickening.
It's very sickening.
Yeah. I almost want to just get into TV to get an Emmy just handed to me like the rest of these clowns.
If you put it in your Twitter profile, Emmy winner.
Yeah.
No one would question
it. No one would question it.
No.
You can win an Emmy for anything. Oh, I just love having this Emmy. This Emmy. What did they like? It's like giving out these championship T-shirts to another country. Did they just overproduce Emmys and have to give them away to scrubs?
You got four more. Give
you
them out.
You got four more? Right? You know what I mean? So were you guys on Tsunami Watch for us last night? It's like Sudoku.
Yeah, as soon as I saw Choppy retweet the breaking news, and I was like, is this real? Because just like Peyton, I feel like it's crazy. I have to go, AI's created everything and screwed it all up. And I was like, is this real?
Good point.
Choppy retweeted it. I feel like I should trust it.
But you could see how Choppy would be fake news.
Yeah, and so I went and looked, and, and it turns out it was real. And I was like, my first thought is, are the guys going to be okay? Because that's y'all are right on the marina.
Bull, that was not your first thought. I'm going to tell you, and I want one of you to admit it. Your
Would
first
we get
thought
the morning
was,
show? Okay.
No.
Yeah,
sure,
no.
I did
yeah,
think
it's
that.
It's too early to wake
I'm just
up.
Kidding.
You were thinking, thank goodness we went out last week.
Okay,
you know you were. That's what I was thinking. Why couldn't Kansas be here? Why can't they
what?
Die
that
and drown?
The first thing you were thinking? Oh.
Why can't they drown
they
instead of us? Why?
They don't want any part of the NFC North. They don't want any part of that.
Oh,
they want to stay in their AFC South.
Oh, so yeah, that's what I know you were thinking. Thank goodness we're not out there. We got our week out of the way.
That's
valid. No, that's valid. But then when I got in the car this morning and I was heading to the gym, and y'all were just going after Peyton for calling you 3 minutes after he talked to Bobby to see if y'all were okay, and he texted, and you were like, "Why did you call us after you just talked to Bobby?" And he was like, "Just leave Bobby out of this." It was really funny. Good way to start the show. This morning, fellas.
Thank you for listening. And Kevin, I'll have you know that because of the tipping issue at the Italian restaurant last year, that caused Brian Broaddus not to go to the team dinner last night.
Oh no.
Wanted no part of it, Kevin. He's like, I don't want to deal. And then he blamed me the other night after I'm buying drinks for everyone to pregame at the hotel. He said, like, I ordered a bunch of different things and wasn't accountable for it. That, like as if I, like, left someone else holding the bag for the money and extra appetizers. So our ceasefire's over with G-Bag because it brought us.
Well, it was like 1 day, 2 days?
Yeah,
I mean, that seems to be the norm these days.
Yeah.
My God,
are you guys looking at something we need to talk about over there?
No, we're just looking over the names we take out.
Like, oh, you're still doing the Hall of Fame?
Hey, will you send me your list of people
we're
you
not
took
bitter.
Out the
George
Hall of Fame?
Carlin's on
George
there.
Carlin's in here for
what?
Some.
Oh, is this the
deserved.
Radio or the Texas
this
Radio?
Texas Radio Hall of Fame.
Deserved.
So, serious question. I know it's going to make me sound and look stupid.
Tyler Cox is in here. I know Tyler.
Tyler's a good dude.
Okay, you know what? You guys just keep going over. No, Chris is three-time.
Got you down.
Is it actually three-time? Like, what different Hall of Fames is he in?
It's I think he's in the Texas Radio Hall of Fame. It's the he's in some boxing Hall of Fame.
He's in a boxing Hall of Fame?
As like his coverage.
Damn right.
And then I can't remember there's another one.
Is it the Black Radio Hall of Fame? Is that, am I wrong about that?
Okay, so it's three different legit Hall of Fames? Wow.
That big is, time, man.
You know what? Yeah, it's time for you guys to take over. The KNC Masterpiece
always has been.
Is next.
Just kidding.
Let the tsunami go to VFW. KNC's next on the Fan. Hit the button, Peyton.